Welcome into Sports Radio 810 WHB, a special March Madness preview show, I guess? Yeah, sure, why not? It's a March Madness special. We're here with you for 2 hours, getting you ready for anything bracket-related. We'll have our impassioned debate about how many brackets you're allowed to have. We will talk to guests who are on location or covering a multitude of the local teams here. I will tell you my Elite Eight, and then it'll all be wrong. That's great. That's what we're here for throughout March Madness. My name is Joshua Briscoe, flying solo here tonight. It was supposed to be a little duo action with me and Brad Porter, but he is out this evening. Beards McFly on the other side of the glass. I will attempt to be as good as two hosts, all rolled up into one tonight. Please don't hold your breath. We will, though, talk to Mick Schaefer, 41 Action News, here in about 30 minutes. We'll talk to Kenitra Pulliams at 7. She is out covering KU in Salt Lake City at this exact moment. So we'll talk to both of them about a variety of things. Kenitra, obviously, again, covering KU. So we'll start there with her. Mick, who knows? I've never once successfully predicted a conversation on air or off air that I've had with Mick Schaefer. That's why I like talking to him so much. So we'll talk to him here in 30. But there's a bunch of different directions you can go with the conversations you're able to have with this many teams on the table, with this much chaos so easily reachable, so easily accessible. Because we've got teams that none of us have seen play a single second. You can be anyone on the planet. Listen, I'm happy to admit to you, I didn't see Northern Kentucky dribble a basketball one damn time this year. Not a clue. Not a clue. And so could they knock off my sleeper Final Four pick, Texas Tech, in the first round? Sure, because it's random and that's okay. Like, there's obviously, we're all making educated guesses here, right? Jay Billis is making a better educated guess than I am. I'm making a better educated guess than my 9-year-old sister who fell out of bracket for us in the Almost Entirely Sports pool.
And I think I'm below her.
I think Beards might be below Chloe. But that's the fun of it. We're all up on the you can go up against a bunch of different 8-10 personalities at the 810WHB.com bracket. I guess it's just the Sports Radio 810 bracket at 810WHB.com. There's a little link in the corner. Mine is filled out, ready to go. I don't know if I'm listed as a VIP yet or not, though. I gotta maintain my VIP status. I want Beards to have a VIP. Do you have like a headshot even that we're even using here?
No.
Can it just be your Funko Pop? Maybe just a picture of a beard?
I want it to be in a suit, but I've got my hat and my headphones on.
That's pretty good. That's a pretty strong, bold look. So you can compete against all of us at 810WHB.com. There's some great prizes, it's worth your time. It's also just fun to compete against all these people that were around here, where all of our jobs, at least tangentially, is to know what we're talking about with sports. And I promise you, Saran or Curtis is not going to win the whole pool. They're just not, because that never happens. None of us here at 810 are going to win this bracket pool. It's just not going to happen. Because you can be Jay Billis and get things wrong, especially whenever you're not only looking at a first round of games, trying to get 32 games all correct in the first round, and then you've got also account for fictional matchups between Florida State and Texas Tech. What are we doing? I don't know. But that's why it's fun, and I think that's why it's such a good, like, cultural experience that we can all have. It's a big enough bracket that you can pick some random things, and maybe it pays off, and maybe your little sister beats you, and you lose to people you've never heard of, and maybe the worst bracket in the pool at 810 and at 810WHB.com is going to be mine. It would be pretty funny. I could do the preview show for you right now and have the worst bracket, and that wouldn't surprise anyone. If Duke loses in their second or third game, I and like half of every bracket on the planet were bleeped. And that's fine. It's fun that way.
The three of us all picked Duke last night.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Yep.
And if Nevada wins the whole thing, my little sister is going to be that unto a god. Because they're the Wolfpack and she likes dogs. That's just, I think that that's what makes it such a fun interactive experience. And so we can all go through today and talk about our biggest upset. Like, oh, I've got Murray State over Marquette. I got Texas Tech. I got Florida State beating Gonzaga and Texas Tech beating Michigan. I got Iowa State beating Houston. We can do all of that, and it's legitimately fun, and I can talk about why, and we can come up with different levels of logic for it all. And your logic could be flawless, or it could be completely ridiculous. I could have had Bradley beat Michigan State because it's my middle name. And if that game goes that direction, am I a genius? No. If Michigan State does lose to Bradley and I pick Michigan State, am I an idiot? No, of course not. Well, I mean, for other reasons. But the reasons that these games can fall apart and the reasons that the brackets we all light on fire, it's because there's a legitimate chance that bleep seriously hits the fan. I remember, I mean, just being as young as I could be, you know, fill out a bracket by hand, and then I had a little green, a little pink highlighter for picks I got wrong or right. And whenever one of your Elite Eight teams would lose in the first round, you had to take that brutal run of pink highlighters crossing off like three straight games because you picked Michigan State again and they lost in the first round again. Or you, for some reason, you trusted Gonzaga and you were punished by your faith in them.
I have Houston for the second year in a row making it to the Elite Eight. Why? I don't know.
And it's okay because if Houston makes the Elite Eight, you dunk on the rest of the world. And I think that's really fun. We can have the really formed conversations about each of these, though. And I want to do a little bit of that before we talk to Mick. We'll get to the local games, specifically being KU and K-State, and even the teams that will end up coming to the Sprint Center. There's a large variety of teams that could be here, but obviously games certainly will be played in the Sprint Center. But like a quick little national whip around here, everyone has Duke winning not just because they've been excellent with Zion, but because he is the most recognizable player in the sport, and it's not even close. I don't know how many people know what team Ja Morant plays for.
Who's second?
Is it Ja Morant? Because
no.
He's an interesting. Is it Cam Reddish? Is it another Duke guy? I don't know. So here, Beards. Here's what I'm saying. Your one seeds are Duke, Virginia, Gonzaga, and North Carolina. The biggest stars in the sport are all the coaches. I mean, you've got Jay Wright is the reason that you're picking Villanova.
Is there some 3 or 4 year guy that's been around for a while that I'm not thinking of?
I don't think so. Cause I think that largely star power translates to NBA draft prospects, and the top of that list are Duke guys and Ja Morant. And so that's why I was having this conversation with Rudy and Beards. I think in the commercial break,
I did forget one. Admiral Schofield.
It's just because his name is Admiral.
It's a great name.
I mean, it is a great name. You're right. But last night during a commercial break, we talked about this, and I don't even think it ever made it to the show. We ran out of show last night. We were talking about, at least what I was sort of admitting, is I've been rooting for Duke this year. And it's weird because, I mean, first of all, they're a fundamentally different team than usual, right? Like, Zion's one and done. RJ Barrett's one and done. Cam Reddish is one and, like, this is a very fundamentally different Duke team, right? Whenever the Duke teams of years past have ground fans the wrong way, it's usually those 4 year guys that are slapped on the floor and everything. This Duke team, I just pulled up NBADraft.net to see a mock draft, and they've got pick 1, pick 3, and pick 8, which I feel like that's farther than we thought Cam Reddish was going to go, or whatever. Regardless, they've got, like, the stars in the sport right now, and they're playing this, like, violent, aggressive basketball when Zion is out there. So I picked them largely for that reason. Because I don't think that
also just because they have like 3 guys,
right? And no one else, I don't think anyone else has 2 guys. We might have just established that no one else has a guy. I don't know. I don't know how far away you have to go. Like, and this is kind of a local thing, like, because it's a Big 12 guy, but like, Jarrett Culver gives more to Texas Tech than most other single guys. But Duke has the biggest star in the sport and two other guys that are, at the very least, names the average sports fan recognizes, if not faces they recognize. The thing for me at this point, though, is the style of basketball they play. My parents went to Wichita State, and then I went to Mid-America Nazarene. So, not exactly super relevant basketball teams at the moment in this year's tournament. Whenever Wichita State was making a couple of runs a few years ago, I was slightly biased that direction, but it's not a huge whatever. Among all the teams that I would consider myself to usually root against, I would by default usually just root against Duke. And this year's totally different because I feel like I'm watching something objectively more fun than the majority of the rest of the league. It's the thing that got me hooked on Kansas this year. The thing that I legitimately really enjoyed watching, it wasn't Dedrick Lawson. I know he's an excellent player, but Devon Dotson is the guy that I have enjoyed watching Kansas for more than anybody else. And I think that Duke is owning the conversation from that like style of play perspective. And so it, not only are they the number one overall team because they have the number one overall player plus, you know, two more top, maybe a top three guy and a top 10 guy, at least by draft spots, and I would argue by NCAA play. But also, they're fun to watch, and they're easy to root for, even though it is, in fact, Duke.
I did a little nerd looking here, just for fun.
That's a weird sentence that you put together, but
I
sure.
Know. So,
would you like to try to phrase that any way that's even slightly better?
No, I'm good with it.
Okay, great.
Cam Reddish on the Duke team is 8th in player efficiency rating. He's at 13.4.
Okay.
RJ Barrett is 2nd, 23.5.
Yeah, Zion's going to be it. How high does player efficiency go? A billion? Can it go to a billion?
He's at 42. Which leads the country.
Do you have the league? Or whatever, the country, I guess? I always call the NCAA.
Yeah, I have
league.
The top 10.
Who's second?
Brandon Clark of Gonzaga at 37.
What's third then? I'm looking for the margin that jumps to
Cameron
Zion.
Jackson of Wofford, 35.
Love those Wofford Terriers.
Anthony Lamb of Vermont, 34.4. Nathan Knight, William & Mary, 33.8.
All right, I'm over it.
10th is Scotty James of Liberty at 30.9.
So what we're saying here is Zion is good. Playing God levels of college basketball.
Zion good.
Oh, you heard it here first on Sports Radio 810.
Zion good. Also, he's freaking huge, man.
But he's a little bit like shorter than I thought. Like he's like 6'7".
Yeah.
But it's the no. But he is also
280 pounds.
I know. No,
at the age of 18.
Yes, he's a beast. Frances has been on this beat for a while of he's not going to be able to guard anyone in the NBA. Don't. How dare you laugh at Francesa? He's constantly asking, what if he has to guard Giannis? What if he has to guard Giannis? He actually doesn't say
then
Giannis.
Then he bullies him into submission.
Yeah, first of all.
Except Giannis, not Giannis.
First of
Giannis
all.
Giannis is kind of crazy.
First of all, Francesa doesn't say Giannis. He says, the Greek freak. What if he has to guard the freak? That's true. He said he just constantly calls him the freak.
Have you seen what he's done to guys on the perimeter on defense this year where he just swallows them up?
Those aren't pro players.
It doesn't matter.
What do you mean it doesn't matter? He's a generational player. This is my Mike Francesa impression, apparently. It's not a good impression, but I think I am nailing the content. Those are the clips that have been out that I've listened to. I think is interesting. Because it's kind of like obviously it's difficult to judge how someone translates from college to the NBA in a lot of instances, where Zion's not going to be the singular force that he is in college, obviously. But it's such a weird hill to die on. I don't know. It's not where I want to be. I want to just enjoy watching him while he's still playing, even if he shouldn't be because it financially doesn't make any sense, but whatever. selfishly, I'm glad he's playing because I want to watch him play basketball, and I think it makes the tournament way more interesting. I've been wed to my Final Four because I did it. I picked it before I picked any individual games because we needed to get answers together on Sound Off on Sunday, and I've ended up with Duke, Texas Tech, North Carolina, and in this exact tone of voice, Purdue? Shrug? Because that whole region's a nightmare.
Also, we hate Virginia.
Oh, I can't stand Virginia. And for some reason, I don't like Gonzaga. I don't know why. I feel like Gonzaga might not be fair. I know why I don't like Virginia. And that whole region, so let's do that. We talked about Duke. And that's my logic as to why they're fun. By the way, Michigan State, legitimately good basketball team. I understand it. But if someone, I would say probably the smartest way to differentiate your bracket is to have Michigan State beating Duke and then just take that to the finals. Where you're just saying, like, where that right there could be, you, like, there's a decent argument for those being the two best teams in the sport. And if Michigan State would have been in any other bracket, they would have been the sexy pick over Virginia, no question. They would have been the pick over Gonzaga, no question. I think a lot of people would have had them over North Carolina. They were supposed to be, you know, the fifth. Somehow they end up in Duke's bracket. That feels wrong. Also, in all likelihood, you know, the ones and twos aren't going to meet in most cases. But it feels like Michigan State should have been in any other bracket, and they would have been a runaway Final Four pick, especially in the aforementioned South region, where I'm angry at all of it. My only question is, how quickly can I get Virginia out of here? And we're not going to give you the picks, like, all the way along.
Gardner Webb!
But so, again, this is really important that you understand this. So my little sister, Chloe, she is 9. She's also an expert bracketologist, and Gardner Webb is the Bulldogs. Plus, they have a very good Bulldog logo, like an excellent logo. And Chloe has a championship game of the Nevada Wolfpack versus the Gardner Webb Bulldogs. So nothing on this planet would make me happier than for Gardner Webb to make a run. However, I don't think that they're going to, and I don't feel like I have the confidence to have like Ole Miss bounce them or even Wisconsin, because what I would have circled here first is for there to be a strong 2 seed, a strong 3 seed, a strong 4 seed, a strong 5 seed. Any of those would have done. By the way, K-State, if you're listening, I know we're probably not seeing Dean Wade. It's probably over, and this is, you know, spoiler alert territory on our K-State conversation we'll have here. But Kansas State was pretty much given, like, the best spot they could get here. Obviously, you know, they don't like to play in Sprint Center and whatnot. But, like, UC Irvine's fine. And right now I've got them over K-State because I think that they're fundamentally different without Dean Wade. But their guard play is good enough that, whatever, it's all of this is varying degrees of random. But after that, K-State would likely face Wisconsin. And if you want to complain about basketball, watch the potential Virginia-Wisconsin game. That would be a Sweet 16 matchup, unfortunately enough. Is there like an average? ESPN.com, sometimes they have little extra bonus things. I was hoping there'd be like a projected score of that game.
They just have like averages by team.
That's not as interesting. But that, though, The adjective that best describes the South is slow. And K-State doesn't have to play that way. The problem here is I don't trust K-State at the moment. I don't trust Virginia at all. Wisconsin isn't the style of team that I want to pick over Virginia.
Put your faith in Admiral Schofield.
Neither is Purdue, who I have in the Final Four anyway.
He has a great name!
And I would like to have had Tennessee running all the way through, but as soon as it was revealed,
join me,
that Cincinnati would be playing that Tennessee-Cincy game in Columbus, I picked Cincinnati because I think that seems like a really like clever pick to oust a 2 seed.
Admiral Schofield, we trust.
So I'm stupid. So I'm down on the On the Cincy basically playing a home game over Tennessee pick. I like that a lot. Are you sending Admiral all the way to the Final Four in your bracket? You are, right?
Yes. Okay. Do you know where Admiral Schofield went to high school?
No.
Zion, Illinois.
Really? Wow. Now that I know that he went to the school of Zion, I'm reconsidering. Have we figured out a way to get Virginia all the way out of here sooner?
I mean, listen, Gardner Webb. Listen, if Gardner Webb could eliminate Virginia the first round for the second year in a row, then Virginia would be eliminated in the first round.
They would have to be relegated to the NAIA.
It would make me happy. It would make me so happy.
And Virginia, so I still have Virginia in the Elite Eight right now because I just don't know who their challengers are going to be in that top half of the bracket. And Virginia is a better team this year, and they're a less infuriating team this year. But it's still not fun.
No.
It's not my favorite style of basketball. Again, though, they're like, in fairness, this year they're averaging over 70 points per game. They did lose to Duke twice. They won that game at North Carolina. They split with Florida State. So, like, I understand having some optimism about Virginia. I was giving Srin a hard time about how he was picking Virginia all the way to, I think, the championship game. And I was saying, oh, nice, no, it's a nice upset you got there, taking a one seed all the way. Oh, wow, what an upset pick. His defense being, of course, that no, everyone is constantly pooping on Virginia. And I think that that's absolutely valid for the record. Like, it's not a fun upset pick, but I understand that there's a lack of faith in them after last year, and because they're still, like, I don't know, they're aesthetically not a whole lot more fun right now. It's better, but it's not my favorite.
If only we had our heroes, the UMBC Retrievers.
I think the Bulldogs, if Virginia keeps losing to dog-based 16 seeds, it would make me even more exceedingly happy. What time is that game, by the way? That's it's not until Friday at about 2. I'm clearing my schedule. I want to watch every second of that. I don't need any of that whip-around action. I want every single moment of Virginia Gardner-Webb, because until Virginia is up with 0 seconds remaining on the board, I'm not counting Gardner-Webb out. But can I pivot us back?
I'd like to remind everybody that UMBC beat Virginia by 20 last year.
That's incredible.
It made me so happy.
I want to pivot back to the Big 12 here while we're over in this region, and we need to take a break so we can get to Mick. Oklahoma even being in this tournament is baffling to me. And that's not to say they can't beat Ole Miss, and then some Oklahoma people will show up in my mentions and be like, oh, you said they shouldn't even be in the tournament. They shouldn't be. They shouldn't be in the tournament. Their resume stinks. They stunk in the Big 12. They're a subpar Big 12 team. They're a subpar team altogether. The fact that they ended up just being a 9 seed here is absurd to me. They shouldn't be in the tournament, and winning a game wouldn't change that. I'll feel no differently if they beat Ole Miss. I just don't have enough faith in any of this to bounce Virginia early, and that bums me out. We'll talk more about the bottom half of the bracket a little bit later on. We will also, at 7 o'clock, go out to Salt Lake City to talk to Kenny Tripoliums out there with KU. But whenever we come back, we've got Mick Schaefer of 41 Action News. That's next year on Sports Radio 810's March Madness Preview Show.
The most powerful sports station in America has a home in Kansas City. This is Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Radio 810's March Madness Preview Show. It is March, and I am mad. Title lived up to. I'm also Joshua Briscoe. I'm also joined right now by Mick Schaefer. Where are you now, Mick? We're playing a little like Carmen Sandiego. Where in the world are you at this moment?
I am in my car just off the plaza at the 41 Action News Studios. Just got done with the 6 o'clock sportscast. We are live, right?
We are live.
Good, yes. I just got out of the 6 o'clock sportscast. I have a 7 o'clock hit coming up on Facebook Live. Shameless plug here.
Yeah.
Gary Lezak and myself are having a bracket challenge this year, so we are revealing our brackets live on Facebook Live. So we'll be doing that and kind of going down each region, talk about who's whose picks are different, what our Final Four picks are, what we expect of the Wildcats and the Jayhawks. And he will wipe the floor with me. I promise you that.
First of all, Beards, can we just end the show at 7 and then go watch that? Because I feel like that's better than anything we're going to do the rest of the show.
It's on Facebook Live, so you can just pop it up on your phones. You're fine.
That's good. We'll be able to listen to it and everything just over the microphone. That'll be perfect.
Just air it. Yeah, just take a break. Just put the phone up to the microphone and have some good quality content for once, you know.
Yeah, no, that's true. Because I really thought what this show needed was as much Mick as possible. What I didn't realize is that we could do it through Facebook Live in 30 minutes as well. That's excellent.
Yeah, I totally recommend it.
Do you have a most embarrassing person that's beaten you in a bracket tournament that immediately jumps to mind? You can't just say everyone. Like, there has to be a specific incident.
No. I mean, it is everyone. I mean, my wife's beaten me. My kids have beaten me. I mean, yeah, no, absolutely. Anybody. If you picked, I think one year I picked a bracket, Josh, based on the mascots and if their nicknames, and if that, which would win in a real fight.
Yes. So
if you had an anteater going up against, what is it, a Jayhawk? Okay, that I'm
Wildcat.
East Irvine, yeah. And yeah. Against the Wildcat, who would win? Okay, the Wildcat would win. I'm moving Kansas State along.
Right.
Well, hold on. It's a Wildcat against a Duck. Well, that's going to win.
Right.
But then, Wildcat against a Wolverine. I don't know who wins that. Okay, I'll advance the Wildcat. But then they have to take on a Cavalier. A Cavalier, I imagine, is going to have a weapon. The Virginia is going to take down K-State. So one year, I fill out a bracket that way. And it beats my regular bracket.
That's incredible.
Just throwing darts and clowning around can beat me in a challenge.
This year, this is actually something that someone has already done it for this year, doing the bracket the same way. This year, I actually don't know. They may even actually be playing tonight. I'm not 100% sure. But there's a Thunderbirds. There's Red Storm. St. John's Red Storm has a Thunderbird, I suppose. Also, Red Storms are difficult. How do you beat a Cyclone? What do you do with a Cyclone? At some point, you get a little Cyclones versus Pirates battle. That one's very on-brand.
Well, think of it this way. Anytime Duke or Wake Forest is in it, I mean, those Devils and Demon Deacons, they're going to go a long way.
You're right.
Face I don't know, a team with the Saints or with some sort of religious
The Gales
angelic type battle. You always want to go to I'm trying to St. Mary's through the Gales, I guess. I don't know, something like that to take down the evil that is Duke and Wake Forest with their demonic it's weather. Cyclones, hurricanes, that's tough to beat a hurricane.
Yep, it is.
You know, that's going to take out a whole state if you watch out, if you don't watch out.
And that's Gary's strength right there. He can appropriately rank the varying weather phenomenon and decide which one of those would be most damaging.
Yes.
Excellent.
What's a Tar Heel? They're never winning a game. Everything's beating a Tar Heel.
The Tar Heel is just a piece of black gum on your shoe.
It is.
And that's not helpful. That's winning nothing.
It's not. But no, I would be every year except for 1997. I peaked that year. I was in the ESPN Tournament Challenge. Back then, there were a lot of people in it, but several hundred thousand.
Mm-hmm.
Not like it is now where they have, 10, 20 million challenge, right?
Yeah.
So I was in it, and I got everything right almost. I was down. I got 15 in my Sweet 16, 14 in my Sweet 16, 7 in my Elite 8, got the entire Final Four right. And if Kentucky would have beaten Arizona in the championship game, I would have finished in the top 25 and gotten pizza for a year. Pizza Hut pizza for a year, courtesy of ESPN. But Arizona won, so I finished in the top 100 overall. So that was my best ever. I haven't sniffed anything like that since.
If you would have had unlimited pizza for a year, you could have gone from Mick Schaefer to Thick Schaefer. It would have been incredible.
Mm-hmm. That saved me some weight. That Kentucky win saved me some LBs.
That's very good. Okay, so listen. Theoretically, this is to get the dear listeners of this particular radio show prepared for the madness And I would say that the most interesting first round storyline locally has to be K-State, right?
Yeah.
Because between these two local teams, listen, KU's capable of a lot, both good and bad. But K-State has such a huge unknown. You can't expect Dean Wade. I've heard people say nice things about UC Irvine. What are you expecting for K-State in this first round?
Well, yeah, look, I'm always leery and cautious of those teams that have won a lot of games. I don't care what conference you're from. I don't care if anybody's heard of you. But if you won 30 games like UC Irvine, I mean, you're used to winning. Most of the time you've done it in a lot of different ways. You've led from wire to wire. You had to come from behind. You've had close games. You've got blows. You have everything. You get seasoned, accustomed to win.
Yeah.
And even if K-State has better talent than UC Irvine, and look, I think they do. These two teams played last year, and K-State beat them by like 25 in Manhattan. And it's the entire K-State team back, I guess minus Dean Wade. Mm-hmm. And it's most of that team back. So, K-State got better. Did UC Irvine get 25 points better? Granted, now it's on a neutral floor. But I think K-State has the best talent. So if you take those two teams, and if you look at it, K-State has the best talent. But 30 games, I mean, that's a lot of winning to where, at the very least, you know, coming down the stretch, if it's a close game, UC Irvine ain't going to be rattled.
Yeah.
If it's a 5 to 10-point K-State lead, UC Irvine is going to be rattled. If the Anteaters are up by 10 with, a few minutes ago, they're not going to be rattled. They've been in that situation before and have figured out how to prevail. So I think it's going to be a 40-minute battle. Best for me. For Kansas State. I wouldn't be surprised if this first-round matchup for K-State, and I have them winning, I wouldn't be surprised if it isn't tougher than the next round. When they play either Wisconsin or Oregon, I've kind of settled, I think, on Oregon in that game. That's who I picked in my bracket challenge. I think, and all the experts who have seen you see Irvine play a lot think, okay, this is the 113 seed that has the best shot at an upset in this first round. So then I think that's an intriguing storyline, Dean Wade being out. I was just thinking for K-State is that, look, they're used to it. They're used to it by now, not just last year in the NCAA tournament. But also some games this year, and early on against the UC Irvine, it might be okay to go with four guards and not have that huge inside presence. But Dean Wade is so much for him, and he'll certainly be worse off without him. But I've got K-State moving on out of San Jose.
Well, and I think you already touched on it with Wisconsin, where if you are optimistic about K-State, you're in the right bracket. Because not only, I mean, the South isn't like an absolute catastrophe, but it's pretty slow.
Yeah.
Like, you look at Virginia up top, which would be the team that Casey would have to face with a couple more wins, and I don't know how you can feel great about Virginia right now. Wisconsin, you just mentioned, you think gets bounced in the first round. On the bottom, Villanova is a six seed.
Yeah.
Purdue, my feelings on Purdue, that I'm picking them with a question mark afterwards. Tennessee has to play Cincinnati in Columbus, so I think Cincy probably has a little extra edge in that game. Like, this whole region is the one that feels to me most likely to be completely turned up on its head.
Yeah, I agree. And look, I've got K-State beating Virginia, and that's less of my belief in K-State and more in that Virginia has to lose at some point because they do every year. So that's the point I picked them losing. Because it's not just last year with Virginia in the 116 game. It's most years and what they aren't able to do in the NCAA tournament. Yeah, I've got K-State making back-to-back Elite Eight runs. But I really like Tennessee. I think Tennessee is a better team than Virginia, and so I have Tennessee escaping Louisville and getting to the Final Four.
So what about Kansas's region? In the Midwest, obviously a huge talking point has been the fact that KU not winning the Big 12, not winning the Big 12 tournament, being a four seed, they're two wins away from playing in the Sprint Center. What did you make of that?
Well, I think it was a gigantic gift. It was like, here you go, thanks. I mean, think of it this way. What if KU gets the Sprint Center? What if Iowa State pulls off the upset, and which I don't know if it'd be an upset beating a three-seeded Houston team.
Yep.
Gets to Sprint Center, Kentucky's there, and then North Carolina. The number one seed would by far have the fewest amount of fans.
Yep.
I mean, by far. Roy should be mad about KU, but he should also be mad about Iowa State as a sixth seed.
Yep.
Basically, as Iowa State had more fans than Kansas did at the Big 12
yes.
tournament.
Yes. Oh, it wasn't even close.
True fact. That's not a hyperbole.
No.
And then Kentucky will travel to the moon.
Yep.
Okay? And they're much closer than Chapel Hill to Kansas City. So, oh, Roy's going to be very, very upset. That I'm rooting for that. That would be great.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that would just, I mean, this city would, I mean, turn upside. I mean, if you'd have Royals opening day, the day before.
I didn't even think about that.
That 4-day stretch, I mean, we turn the town upside down. That would be great. So, that being said, I do not have the Jayhawks make. To Sprint Center. But yes, that would be a huge, huge gift. Although, I really think it's an Allen Fieldhouse thing for this team. They didn't look good
Correct.
In Kansas City.
Yeah.
I mean, they squeaked by a Texas team that didn't make the tournament.
Yep.
They beat up a West Virginia team that, frankly, should be beat up.
Yep.
And then Iowa State just handled them. I mean, handled them. And it was Iowa State team that I don't think should have been. K-State outplayed them for 38 minutes, and then Iowa State hit two great shots, and K-State made mistakes on the stretch, and they got the championship game. So I think it's an away from anywhere from Allen Fieldhouse for KU that they struggle, and I wouldn't be surprised if it happens again against Auburn.
Yeah, I'm in the exact same boat on that front. So with that being said, who has a better chance? Which of these home teams has a better chance of getting back to Kansas City? Would you rather would you pick KU or Iowa State if you knew one of them was going to make it back?
I'd pick Iowa State.
I would too.
I just would. And look, that's Team Schizo.
Yeah.
I mean, they can roll out some turds.
Oh, for sure.
I couldn't figure them out all year long. But on the other end is that they could play with anybody in the nation.
Yep.
They showed that in that Big 12 tournament. They look great. And, you know, I'm not a huge believer. I don't have them going to the Final Four or anything like that. But I do have them win a couple games in this tournament.
And then they just get ousted by Kentucky in the Sprint Center, which, by the way, you do have Iowa State losing in the Sprint Center, which is something they haven't done in 2 years, I guess? Like, they just...
Well, yeah, they haven't lost since last year, 2018. I can't remember what round they bowed out in, but they didn't make the championship game. So, yeah, no, that would be a huge advantage for Iowa State. I bet they should love their draw.
Yeah, they really should. And so you think North Carolina and Kentucky out of that region, though, as the two favorites? Or...
I had North Carolina. For some reason, I've kind of talked myself into not liking that. And really, I mean, that they would really have to pull off at least one upset, I think Kentucky's got a lot more fans than them.
Mm-hmm.
And then possibility they have to get by a KU team, which Roy's never beat, by the way.
Interesting.
At North Carolina.
Hmm.
So, but yeah, I've got North Carolina getting out of that region.
I kind of like a little Kentucky curveball there. That doesn't bother me any. I look at the Final Four that I so carefully constructed 45 seconds. Yeah, 45 seconds before the show on Sunday. And I've continually talked myself in and out of just about everything here. But the one thing that I do feel like good about from a not a lot of people have this, but I think it's super plausible standpoint, is Texas Tech coming out of the West. What do you do with any of that?
A lot of people have Tech. I have. I've gone to the Final Four.
Okay, so do I. All right, well, fine.
I love Chris Beard. I think he's great.
Okay, time out. Quick question.
Awesome.
Question on Chris
Beard. I
think
they have the softest number one. Now, look, Gonzaga's got a couple pros, a point guard or a guard and a boot guy. They're awesome, right?
Right.
But as Sarin said, you just never know. I mean, because they play a softer schedule than everybody else. It's funny. I was filling it out with my son. And Gonzaga losing early in the year. I do in Sweet 16. And I'm like, yeah, that's weird. If Gonzaga was the 10 seed, I'd probably pick them to the Elite Eight. But they're the 1 seed, and so I have them losing the Sweet 16. It's a weird relationship I have with Zach.
Should Chris Beard legally have to change his name to Chris? I do not have a beard.
No. That was, no.
What about his middle name? What if he made his middle name, I do not have a?
Better? No, maybe he changed it to a color like gray beard.
He doesn't have a beard, though. I feel like it's false advertising.
Yeah, no. Usually I go down rabbit holes with you, but I'm gonna sit this one out.
I've been on this train for weeks now. I feel like we've been lied to.
I don't know if you're getting any passengers, other passengers on that train.
Okay, so should he have to grow a beard then? Right?
No.
All right.
I feel like beard is like a weird last name. Plenty of people have the last name. I know people with the last name Beard, and I've never thought that whatsoever.
Well, here's the gift I've given to you, Mick, as a parting gift. Now, whenever you interact with these beard named people in the future, you'll think, huh? They don't have a beard. That's strange, and they should legally have to change their name to either not have a beard.
I probably will not think that. In fact, within 2 seconds after this conversation, it'll probably exit my mind forever.
I'm gonna text you in like a week. Just the phrase "I do not have a beard," and
I believe that.
I'm gonna put a reminder on my phone, and I'll text you in like a week. And I'll try to continually get this word association game going on in your mind.
Okay, thanks.
All right, so where can people watch this this bracket picking between you and Gary?
On the Action News Facebook page.
There we go.
All about the digital. So, I mean, this will go on for like 5 or 10 minutes because we're basically going to cover all 32 games and then maybe kind of into the Sweet 16. But we're going to do this every week. So, like, next week we'll update who's winning.
Good.
And then who has what Sweet 16 teams left. And we'll talk about what games we got right, what games we got wrong, all that stuff.
Sounds excellent. Thank you, Mick. Remember, Chris, I do not have a beard. That's a good joke and a good idea, and we'll talk to you again in a little bit.
Love your show.
Thank you, Mick. Oh, I appreciate that. I love Mick, too. I love his show. But by his show, I mean the TV, I guess? Just like sports? Sports TV? Love you, Mick. My name is Joshua Briscoe, by the way. Mick loves me and loves the show. Beers McFly is running the show. It's Sports Radio 810's March Madness Preview Show right here on 810 WHB.
Kansas City's hometown sports station, Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Double checking something here. Lars Anderson. No, this was earlier. He's verified. This was earlier today on Twitter, saying that Fred Hoiberg is going to be the next coach at Nebraska. Beards, did you see this anywhere at all? This tweet's an hour old.
I had not.
Interesting. He's tweeted that Fred Hoiberg will be the next coach of the Huskers.
There's an article from 2 days ago from the Lincoln Journal-Star saying that the contact had been made between the two parties.
Anderson says this is firm and final. So apparently that's that.
I mean, he's not an NBA coach anymore, so.
So here's an embarrassing admission. When did that happen?
This season.
Like, how long ago?
December 3rd.
Okay. Well, there you go. That's an interesting gig.
Wasn't necessarily a successful Bulls coach.
No, it didn't seem like it. No. Oh, yeah, I remember that because the coach after him, everyone, like, hated, right?
He's still there.
Right, yeah, but, like, guys, like, weren't showing up to practice for a while. So
there was
something.
Talk of a mutiny, yes.
Yeah. Okay, I remember that story happening. Okay, well, there you go.
That's, like, 2 or 3 out of the last 4 Bulls head coaches that there's been a mutiny against.
Good point.
Just saying.
No, that's something. By the way, there's a little breaking news for you here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, our March Madness special for you. We'll go to the KU side of things. We'll go out to Salt Lake City with Kenichi Polliams whenever we come back. My name is Joshua Briscoe. You can tweet me or follow me if you'd like on Twitter at JB Briscoe. Thanks again to Mick Schaefer, who's at Mick Schaefer, Beards McFly at Beards McFly. And we'll have more March Madness previewing whenever we come back here on Sports Radio 810.
Kansas City's hometown sports station, Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back into Sports Radio 810 WHB, our continuing March Madness preview show. We got brackets. We got teams. We got one name of a player from each team and the name of their coach. And then we say they have senior guard play. That's how you do it around here whenever you're looking at that top shelf bracket analysis. Everyone's faking it a little bit whenever you get out to, the Billikens. All right, I don't know a lot. I know what a Billiken is now, but I can't say that I'm ready to talk about the Billikens in depth. However, that is certainly not the case for the local teams, certainly not the case for Kenichi Pulliams, who joins us now out in Salt Lake City right now covering Kansas. So, Kenichi, obvious first question here. How is beautiful, scenic Salt Lake?
It is just that. Stellar, spectacular, first day of spring, 63 degrees in Salt Lake City. It's the first time that it's been 60 degrees or above in Salt Lake City since November 2nd.
Wow. My goodness. So yes. It doesn't sound so bad.
Now that's subject to change because there are storms coming in. So it's supposed to come in tonight, rain all day tomorrow, snow up in elevation. So we're enjoying it while we can.
I love a good food adventure if I can find one. Have you had anything exceptional so far in Salt Lake? Or do you have a place circled on your to-do list or anything over the next couple days?
No. Now, in the welcome media packet, there is a map and about 100 walkable restaurants. I don't know if I'll get to all of them. So I'm just kind of doing my research, going online, checking out the menus, and then, setting my game plan accordingly. Now, for the Jayhawks, they had a phenomenal Italian dinner when they arrived in Salt Lake City yesterday at Valter's. And, Coach Self was raving about how good it was, and the players and the staff were saying, how good it was. And they thought that maybe they'd be in a food coma this morning when they practiced at the Utah Jazz practice facility. But
right. No,
just the opposite. Maybe they carbo-loaded and, it turned out well and had a very crisp, very sharp practice for the Jayhawks this morning.
So, first of all, Salt Lake City, I guess, Italian food capital of the world, and I didn't even know until now. We were already learning things. But out at practice today, I don't know how much, from a philosophical perspective, you do or don't read into practices, especially at this time of the year. We got a lot on all of these teams. But did anything catch your eye today?
Well, we didn't see – we weren't allowed into the private practice.
Mm-hmm.
We were over at the public – shoot around.
Sure,
where the
yes.
band was. And,
because
and
if the media was allowed
band.
To actually see them actually practice, who knows? The universe would implode in that moment. It's good they take it so seriously.
And that's the thing. Bill Self hinted, when the team arrived yesterday that he is contemplating making some changes with the starting lineup. He was asked about it again today, and he said, he is such a creature of habit,
mm-hmm.
That he will probably go with the same starting lineup. Now, that doesn't mean that David McCormick is going to play 20, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Just depending on the flow of the game, he could switch. He could put Mitch in. He could put Marcus Garrett in early, just depending on the looks that the Jayhawks see from the Huskies.
Yeah, so for my money, you have to imagine that any change to the starting lineup, if that were to happen, would be starting Marcus Garrett, not starting David McCormick, right?
Yeah, that's the thing, and especially with kind of the return to form resemblance of return to form that we saw from Marcus Garrett in the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City last week, he's trusting his ankle a little bit more, and it's a little stronger, and he can give you the burst and the energy and the explosiveness. Although, in the game against Iowa State, 2 for 12? And Bill Self says a large reason was because he just couldn't get the lift on his jump shots. But he still grabbed 15 rebounds. So,
yeah.
There's some get up and go there.
Yeah, no kidding.
So we'll just see exactly, because Northeastern, four-guard lineup, they can shoot from deep, their bigs can shoot, so we'll just see how the tempo and how it affects the game.
That's a really interesting brief scouting report there, and I might have you expand on that a little bit with Northeastern,
yeah.
But it seems like that, as the Cliffs notes, is the type of team that Kansas doesn't want to see not only this year, but literally always. It's always some random dude went off for, he shot 7 of 10 from 3, and Kansas lost because they were shooting lights out. Is it fair to say that right now that's the thing that would give Kansas the most trouble, teams that have that streaky shooting ability?
Yes, because as we saw against Iowa State,
mm-hmm.
Saturday, a lot of guys who can shoot can space the floor, which brings Dedrick Lawson defensively away from the basket, and so he has to, you know, maybe guard somebody smaller.
Yeah.
And, you know, it opens up the floor, and it allows the opponents, you know, to shoot. Northeastern says they are not a primarily team that scores in transition, although they do have that ability. They'll have to pick and choose and be selective when they run. Mm. Whereas KU, they want to speed Northeastern up and yeah. make it an up and down track meet. That would play into the Jayhawks' favor. But as you mentioned earlier, when you have a senior guard, beware. And
right.
that's exactly what Northeastern has. Not just a senior guard, a sixth-year player in Basa Pushika.
Nice. That's confidence right there.
You know, and the fact that, you know, he knows a little bit about Kansas, having played at Sunrise Christian Academy in Wichita. So he's heard of the Jayhawks, you know, even mm-hmm. though Northeastern plays in the Colonial Athletic Association. So he's a guard. He's mature. He's experienced. He can shoot. I mean, but the Northeastern as a whole, they don't have any true freshmen on the entire
wow.
roster. They have three redshirt freshmen, but no true freshmen, whereas KU has four freshmen in the starting lineup.
Yep. That's incredible. And so with Northeastern and all of that being said, paint me a picture here for the way that Kansas is upset. We'll go negative first, and then we won't go all negging on Kansas the whole time. But the way that this goes the worst for Kansas, how does this game play out in a worst case scenario?
See Saturday's game against Iowa State.
Yeah, that's a good point.
if the Jayhawks can't hit and can't make free throws, then it's like, uh-oh, here we go again. But maybe it's beneficial having played the style Iowa State resembling somewhat Northeastern. It's like, okay,
yeah.
you know what worked, what didn't work, and what you have to do. And Bill Self still says he compliments his team, and he says they didn't play badly against Iowa State. They just didn't hit shots.
Right.
You know, you don't hit a three-pointer in the entire first half.
Yeah.
And you're, what, 5 minutes, 8 minutes into the second half before Quentin Grimes hits a three, the first three for the team. So, you know, if KU can't hit shots, especially three-pointers, then, because if you look at it, you go back, you know, to last year and KU hit, was it like 391 threes?
Right.
Program record last
yeah.
year. And then you look at, you know, what Northeastern's done this year. They've hit like 322 so far this season.
Interesting.
You know, so that's... you know they can bomb from deep.
Right. So I heard Bill Self say that after the Iowa State game. And
yep.
I don't want to say that I rolled my eyes because that's not true. But, like, I kind of... that little kind of like blow air out your nose, not quite a laugh, but kind of, but clear amusement. That's where I'm
a little
still.
Snort?
Yeah, a little huff, because Kansas not playing poorly, but also not hitting their shots. I think is Kansas playing poorly. Like I know that's a little bit kind of reductive, so maybe it's not completely fair. But the way that Kansas is going to lose games is by not hitting their shots. I guess maybe the subtext for Self is that they can't plan on hitting their shots all that often. There's nothing they can do differently. They're just kind of at a place where they're either going to hit them or they're not, and that's going to determine how far their postseason run goes. Is that generally...
The biggest question mark this year for KU is putting together a string of good games, a string
yeah.
of games where they play well. They've been that roller coaster.
Right.
You know, you climb, and then you just drop, and the bottom falls out in Norman. You know, they're still trying to find some consistency. You know, even if it plateaus, at least you know you're linear, and you're not just that jagged run. You know, of like which KU team are we going to get,
mm-hmm.
you know, game to game. So that's what he wants to see, is consistency, you know, from his team for a run. And, you know, a lot of guys, you know, whereas Northeastern has the experience, KU, I mean, if you think about it, so you have Marcus Garrett, you have Mitch Lightfoot, and you have Chris Tien.
Yeah.
Those are the guys with NCAA tournament experience.
Right.
For KU.
Right.
Now, yes, Dedrick Lawson, KJ Lawson, Charlie Moore, yes. They were on the team last year.
Yeah.
They didn't play transferring into the program. So they, you know, they know the atmosphere. They've seen it. You know, they've got a first-hand point of view. They just haven't played in it.
Mm-hmm.
You think about, I mean, even as well as Dedrick played it at Memphis, he's never made the tournament.
Right.
So there's you know, you kind of, those veterans, if you will, if you want to call Marcus Garrett, you know, Chris Tien, veterans.
Vets,
they're trying
yeah.
to tell the guys what it's going to be like in, you know, an 18,000 seat arena tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's sometimes you just, you got to feel it and just play through it and break a sweat. And then you're like, all right, this is what NCAA tournament basketball is about. You know, you watch it on TV and you see it, and you dream about it, but you haven't lived it till you play it.
So you mentioned the consistency thing, and obviously there's not a lot of time to figure a whole lot of new stuff out, but if Kansas does establish a consistency that you feel like, you know, they've been looking for throughout the season, what is it that stabilizes? What's the thing that's you know, what's the lug nut that's not the whole way on right now that's letting that tire wobble a little bit? How could they achieve that?
Defense.
Hmm.
I mean, I think a lot of it, you know, the fact that, you know, Marcus Garrett missed five games, you know, with the ankle sprain,
mm-hmm.
And he's by far their best defender. And Bill Self calls Marcus Garrett the glue guy, mm-hmm. the blend guy. When Marcus is on the floor, the team plays better. He says that maybe the best blend guy that has come through his program while Bill Self's been head coach has been Brady Morningstar. Mm-hmm. Now, individually, they're not said player, whether it's Brady or whether it's Marcus Garrett, they're not going to put up the numbers to, mm-hmm. you know, eye-popping numbers, but they make everyone around them play better. And that's the thing with Marcus, you know, just the way he plays defense, and he can defend a variety of positions from the one to the four and, you know, if need be, the five with his length and athleticism. I think, you know, you see that, and then Mitch Lightfoot stands in, takes a couple of charges. And then you get Devon's quickness, and he can jump a passing lane, make a steal, go score in transition, or as you saw against Iowa State, you get Quentin Grimes making a block,
mm-hmm.
running the floor, filling the lane, getting an assist from Devon, and getting an and one. So I think it's for them, it just, the spark starts on the defensive end, and then everything blossoms from there.
What do you think, because you mentioned a bunch of names there, which is why I'm going this direction, because I think I know what my answer is. But it was since okay. kind of in the second half of conference play into the tournament and all of that, what do you think the most interesting kind of developing storyline has been for Kansas? Not counting, obviously, like not winning the Big 12, but among
sure.
these individual players.
I think they're just learning. Just because the thing about, you know, Bill Self's teams is he's had senior guards to kind of
yeah.
show the way.
Yeah.
But you have Quentin and Devon who played every game, like who's there to kind of be like, this is how you do it as a Jayhawk.
Right.
This is what Bill Self expects from you. It's just kind of, you get out there and you play and you're going to make mistakes. And then, yeah, in the back of your head, you have the streak, but it's like, okay, you still have to kind of get it to go. And just, I think it's just the evolving identity of the Jayhawks. You think, okay, hey, we're going to have two bigs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, KU's going to hold Silvio out. Hey, you still have Doak. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then Doak gets hurt for a little bit. He misses a couple games. Okay, Doak's back. Oh, and Doak's gone for good. So then it's like, okay, so you go from two bigs to one big to, okay, four guards. But then it's like, well, try two bigs again, because when you had just one and making Dedrick play the five, that didn't suit him the best. because he doesn't operate the best on the low block. High block, yes, you know, because he's the best passer. But when you take Doak, who led the NCAA in field goal percentage last season, you take him out of the mix, then a lot of Diedrich's assist numbers come down.
Right.
And he's on the receiving end of passes instead of being able to maybe facilitate more. And then you see the second half of the season, Diedrich being more of a face-up guy than a back-to-the-basket guy, his three-point numbers have improved tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's just KU's just trying to figure out, and they're morphing into, okay, which Jayhawk team are they going to become this year or at this point in the season? And it's just, it's very fluid.
Yeah. Well, and because of the development of Dotson and Grimes, like that, obviously there's been a huge variance there. Mostly good news recently. The Lawson thing, the evolution of him that you just touched on, especially whenever you look at how his role has had to change, where he has been, I guess, kind of the safety net whenever that's not really supposed, that wasn't supposed to be the plan. Where I've talked about this varying times over the last few weeks. Like, whenever Kansas isn't hitting their outside shots, which has been, honestly, most of the time, and if the defense is able to neutralize Diedrich Lawson or his shots aren't falling or whatever, they don't really have a third option. And it seems like, to me, that's where Azubuike, and also DeSosa, but, you know, Azubuike at least first, the loss of him is so enormous. If they're going to be able, first of all, if you agree with that, you know, let me know. Or if not, correct me where I'm wrong. But if they do, if they don't have a clear third option for being able to create points, what would it be in your mind?
I mean, you can't ignore the obvious. LeGerald Vick has been gone since first week in February.
Yep.
Still leading the team in 3-point shooting.
That's crazy.
You know, so not only was he like the lone senior on the roster, mm-hmm. you know, he was your sharpshooter.
Yeah.
And, you know, Devon, that's not his game. His is attacking the rim.
Yep.
Is using his explosiveness and, you know, being able to score, being able to get to the free throw line. Because early on, guards weren't rebounding and the guards weren't getting to the free throw line to mm-hmm. score, you know, easier points.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of changed as the season has progressed. But, yeah, it's hard to say who you can count on to produce points if Diedrich is shut down or if Diedrich is held. Because that's the thing you've kind of seen mm-hmm. from Diedrich in the Big 12 tournament. Quiet first half, and then all of a sudden it's like whether it's Bill Self challenging him or the team saying, Diedrich, we need you to be the dependable double-double machine.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden in the second half, whether you say it's quietly or not, then okay, then Diedrich, you know, goes in and has the ability to draw contact, and you know, even if he doesn't convert, he goes to the free throw line and is, except for the Iowa State game, it's pretty reliable.
Yeah,
he's what he attempted, was it 60 more free throws than anybody else on the team?
Wow, I believe it. I don't know off the top of my head, but I believe it 100%. With all of that also being said, this is very big picture when you're, you know, looking at the tournament kicking off, but a very big picture. Who do you think is the face, who on this current roster, doesn't have to be for this season, but who is currently on the roster that you think is going to have had the biggest impact on Kansas, you know, 5 years down the road looking back?
Hard to say because if a player is on the team for four seasons,
mm-hmm.
then he has more opportunity
sure.
to have an impact than a player who's only here for one season. You know, so that being said, I would go with Ochai Agbaji.
Ooh, interesting. Okay.
You know, just because nothing was expected from him this year because he was supposed to redshirt. Then all
right.
of a sudden in January, redshirt gets ripped off. He comes in and, you know, makes an impact, has plays drawn up for him, you know, just has unbelievable hops, can provide that spark. And yes, he's had some lulls in his games this season, but at the same time, if you think about it, he didn't have the exhibition season. He didn't have October and November and December. Yes, he practiced, but, I mean, that's like Silvio De Sousa still practices.
Right.
But nothing compares to live game action. So you think about, you know, kind of where Ochai is in his development. It's like, okay, he's kind of in a December frame of mind, December just experience, you know, early January. He's like kind of the beginning of conference play right now.
Yeah.
So I think he will have the biggest impact. Now, you look at the stats this year, and you're going to be like, no, it's Dedrick Lawson. He, you know, he's first team All Big 12. He's All-American. He's up for all these national awards. He led the Big 12 in rebounding and scoring, you know, double-double, 19-20 double-doubles. You know, so you would say that, but I think if you get away from it, go down the road 4 years, 5 years, 10 years, and you look back, you'll be like, I think Ochai's fingerprint will be larger.
Interesting. I think that logic absolutely checks out. I think I've been leaning towards Devon Dodson, but I like the Agbaji logic a lot as well. That's really interesting. Okay, well, we'll let you go on that then, Kenitra. I know you're on Twitter at KPulliams if people want to follow you there. Anywhere else they need to be checking in to make sure they're getting all of your coverage of Kansas from Salt Lake?
That, and then, of course, you know, we'll have a pregame show tomorrow on ESPN Plus and 30 at the Spot and Spectrum Sports and Midco if you're in Lawrence. And so pregame, and then we'll have our postgame, you know, and hopefully there's lots more to talk about with Jayhawk basketball.
So if you turn on a TV, we'll probably see you at some point tomorrow.
Fingers crossed, yes.
Excellent. Well, good luck slaying all of the hundreds of options you have for food in Salt Lake. Please report back with whatever it is that is the most mind-blowing experience. I would I'd love to hear the review of whatever it is. But we'll also check you out everywhere tomorrow, and we'll talk to you again soon. Thank you, Kenitra.
I'll do my best not to let you down.
Thanks. Kenitra Pulliams, you can follow her on Twitter again at KPulliams, P-U-L-L-I-A-M-S. And we'll touch base again with her soon and see how everything is unfolding there in Salt Lake. I think that's great all across the board there on where Kansas stands at the moment. You get a little bit of a look at Northeastern, how things are evolving for this team right now going forward. We'll talk about it a little bit more whenever we come back here on Sports Radio 810's March Madness Preview Show. I know Beards is running around hitting buttons, and he's on the phone and everything, so I don't think I'm physically capable of going to break. What I will tell you now, though, is that my name's Joshua Briscoe. You can follow me on Twitter, at JB Briscoe, and we will continually update you with all sorts of nonsense throughout the weekend. Throughout the rest of the week, I guess. And also, don't forget to enter the 810 March Madness bracket. You can do that at 810WHB.com. Mine is filled out. Beards, did you get yours filled out on 810's with the 810 website yet? Not on the 810 website. You got to do that. Do it, Beards. You can, if you're lucky, you can get a behind-the-scenes look at the Border Patrol. It's one of the prizes. For Beards, that's just extra hours. But I imagine it would be a very...
At 7 in the morning.
6. That's even worse! but you can, that's one of the prizes at 810WHB.com in our 810 bracket challenge. We'll talk more, though, about the NCAA tournament. Also, I have another bracket that I'd like to discuss with you. We'll do that next on Sports Radio 810.
The most powerful sports station in America has a home in Kansas City. This is Sports Radio 810WHB.
Run.
Welcome back to Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Joshua Briscoe on some March Madness preview action for you here on 810. Beards McFly running the board, hitting the buttons, making the calls, working the phones, playing the commercials. I'm sitting over here and talking. Thanks again to Mick Schaefer and Kenitra Pulliams for joining us here on the show. Mick's at Mick Schaefer, Kenitra's at K Pulliams. And you can check out their coverages all throughout the rest of the week / weekend. We've got tons of it for you here. Also on Sports Radio 810, as I quietly but confidently open up the schedule, and boom, here it is. So tomorrow, our coverage of KU begins at 1:30. So that'll take you all the way till post game wraps up, probably around 6. We got more NCAA tournament action for you here. But also tomorrow on ESPN Kansas City, usually where I reside from 4 to 6. Not the case the next 2 days, though, because starting at 11 o'clock, both of the next 2 days over on ESPN Kansas City, we'll be giving you a bunch of NCAA tournament coverage. So is it like a whip-around format, Beards? I should know this and not be asking this as a question, but I think...
The way Westwood One does it is there is a main game that they will follow.
Yeah.
They will bounce around to other games as well.
Very cool.
In the case of crazy stuff happening... Say Virginia losing to a 16 seed in the first round.
That would never happen, idiot.
They would go to that game exclusively for a little while. They might check back in on their main game every once in a while, but they'll focus on the big stuff.
That feels like a great way to do it, and that'll be what you hear.
It's basically red zone for your ears.
Perfect. I love it. So that coverage starts at 11 a.m. tomorrow on ESPN Kansas City, and then at 6 it'll come over here to the 810 side of things. But Kansas versus Northeastern, that coverage begins in earnest at 1:30 tomorrow. I have a feeling that the Border Patrol and the program may mention that game coming up at some point, but they will they'll certainly be talking about it. But coverage completely starts at 1:30, and then Friday coverage is over on ESPN Kansas City from 11 to 6:30, and starting at 6 o'clock, all that coverage is here for you on Sports Radio 810. We'll have more going on Saturday as well. Brad Porter will be in for Sports Saturday, and then coverage starts again at 11. I'm doing Sports Sunday on Sunday, believe it or not, and again, going until 11 because March Madness coverage is happening. I'm going to try to get as much time as possible in front of a television these next few days or listening to the radio here because it is an absolutely exceptional few days of sports. Even if you're not you don't have to be a college basketball junkie to be just a TV heroin junkie, which is what it is watching or listening to the madness over the next few days. Also, you can listen to it. I'm telling you this because I'm going to do it. You can listen to our coverage, to Westwood One's coverage, on our app and our websites at 810WHB.com and also in the 810 mobile app. You will be able to listen to Westwood One's coverage of the NCAA tournament, play-by-play, whip-around, all of that. It's all on the app as well, Sports Radio 810 app and 810WHB.com. We can stream it this year, and so we will be doing that to you for you everywhere. Anywhere you look, you got coverage here throughout the Union Broadcasting coupling of radio stations, ESPN Kansas City's 1510 AM and 94.5 FM, and then here, of course, on Sports Radio 810. Beard, you jump to the microphone. What do you have for me?
Oh, NBA fight.
It looked like Marcus Smart fell over, and then he shoved Joel Embiid. Wow, he shoved him hard. That is Marcus Smart, right?
Yes. Embiid gave him a little chicken wing elbow, and Marcus Smart did not appreciate it.
Did anyone get... I mean, he shoved him in the back,
I think,
too.
Smart got ejected.
He probably should have. He shoved Embiid to the ground, and Embiid's got back problems and stuff. Don't go messing with Joel Embiid's back, man. I don't want that. Probably should have ejected Marcus Smart for that.
I think... they might. I don't know.
They should.
At least the technical.
We have the bottom half of the bracket to talk about that we haven't gotten to yet throughout the show here tonight. But I also, during a couple commercial breaks ago, I saw a tweet from SB Nation. And this show is a March Madness show. It's a bracket show. I'm going to say that includes this. It's a short bracket from SB Nation, but I would like to fill it out with you here on radio, and you can get irrationally angry about my decisions. They put out a best cereal bracket. Beards, here's what I need from you. I need you to compile my winners or bring me paper right now
because
there's none in the
studio.
Bring me paper right now because I don't want to get this wrong. SB Nation has a best cereal bracket that they have tweeted out. It is excellent. It's just 16 seeds, so we're not going to have to eliminate, Raisin Bran in round one. I imagine we're going to have mostly good cereals here, but I think we should run through this. So here is where we're at. First of all, extremely overrated, the 1-1 is Lucky Charms. Lucky Charms is an overrated cereal. The individual little puffed flour or corn pieces, whatever those are not tasty. It's not good. The little Marbits are excellent, but that's just saying that you like marshmallows. The number 8 seed against Lucky Charms is Wheaties. Also, not a great cereal. I'm giving Lucky Charms the win here. I gotta tell you though, that upset is coming soon. They're my Virginia. That's ridiculous. Beards has established, by the way, that he just doesn't like cereal, and that's why he's not involved in this conversation.
The only one
yet.
That I would give votes to would be Rice Krispies, because that's like all I ate when I was a kid.
They are on the list. You're not gonna enjoy where they're seated, but we'll get to it. The 4-5 is Apple Jacks and Fruit Loops. This is mean-spirited. Pairing these two up against each other, fruity and circular-shaped cereals going head-to-head is tough, but I will say that Fruit Loops, even though they're lower-seeded here, the slightly superior. No, I would say they're considerably superior as a cereal. Also, Marcus Smart did get ejected.
I figured.
He should have. By the way, that, again, Lucky Charms Fruit Loops matchup. That's not great. Cinnamon Toast Crunch versus Golden Grahams. Nothing wrong with a Golden Graham.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch has the superior commercial.
Well, and Cinnamon Toast Crunch is an extremely good cereal altogether. I love a good cinnamony cereal. I have some Cinnamon Life in my my pantry at home right now. Thinking about going home and eating some of that here in about 22 minutes. Cinnamon Toast Crunch absolutely advances. I said we wouldn't have to worry about Raisin Bran because there aren't that many cereals here. I was wrong. In fact, Honey Nut Cheerios versus Raisin Bran is the 2-7 matchup. Woo! Honey Nut Cheerios are better than normal Cheerios. These aren't baby food, so we're going to give the nod to Honey Nut Cheerios. But that's it's not a great matchup. Here, Beards, here's your moment. Frosted Flakes, the second 1 seed, up against the second 8 seed Rice Krispies. Especially when you consider the versatility of being able to turn them into treats with grand success. That feels a little low for Rice Krispies. You ate them as a normal cereal, though?
Yeah. I like the crunchy.
Lots of cereals are crunchy.
I don't know. I just like them.
Have you had other cereals that are also crunchy?
Yeah.
I feel like... I'm just
not a cereal person in general.
See, that's really upsetting to me, because I was going to say that I feel like if you were going to be kind of a connoisseur of any food, because Beards is a figure out what I like and eat it exclusively kind of guy. If there was anything that I would say you would be a connoisseur of other than fried chicken places, specifically, I think chicken finger places, I don't see you chowing down on bone-in chicken frequently. There's like a whole thigh piece.
I just drove to Abilene over the weekend.
That's a good point. You did
for
some bone-in chicken.
Brookville Hotel.
That is so weird still. Beards occasionally goes
also,
to Mecca.
Also, Stroud's is delicious.
Okay. I haven't been to Stroud's, actually.
What?
Yeah. I should probably amend that.
Yes.
But I feel like you being a cereal connoisseur would have made a lot of sense. Because it's not too interesting or certainly too fancy, but it would have allowed you to kind of maximize on a genre. Oh, no matter. Frosted Flakes is the superior cereal, though. Sorry. I'm sorry. It's just true. Cocoa Puffs versus Frosted Mini Wheats is a tough one for me. That's a 4-5. These are probably two of my all-time favorites. I was ready to have Frosted Mini Wheats get way too far in this tournament because I really like... They're my go-to. I love a Frosted Mini Wheat. But Cocoa Puffs are just like extremely good. Once you've established that you don't care how much cereal's in them, they're just extremely good. Next up is Honey Smacks versus Fruity Pebbles. I don't think I've ever had Honey Smacks before.
I don't think I've ever heard of Honey Smacks.
They got the frog on the box.
Not ringing a bell.
We should have had music for this, by the way, Beards, and we still could.
Oh, okay.
I know there's a very little chance that you've got a very like bouncy game show music that you could go with this.
Mm.
I know that you're not going to find anything, but I mean, I would love something that's kind of nice, like bwomp, 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 kind of that kind of vibe to it.
You just keep talking. I'll look around. See
okay,
if I
can't imagine that you're going to find anything into that region, though. And we'll save it for the Elite Eight if we get there. So Fruity Pebbles are advancing, though. A fruity cereal is hard to nail. Fruity Pebbles is better than Fruit Loops. It's unbelievable how good you are at finding music that fits the mood. Next up is Captain Crunch versus Trix. Neither one of these mean that much to me. will take Captain Crunch into the next round. Now we're into the Elite Eight of cereal. Our bottom half of the bracket talk will come as soon as this is done. Lucky Charms versus Fruit Loops is a ridiculous matchup of two cereals that are overhyped. But it's not even close. Fruit Loops, by far, the superior cereal. And then we have Cinnamon Toast Crunch versus Honey Nut Cheerios. Again, not even a question. Cinnamon Toast Crunch advances. Frosted Flakes versus Cocoa Puffs. I used to mix these two together. That right there is the best cereal on the planet. But that's not the game. So I'm going to have, advancing here, Cocoa Puffs. They're so good and so unique and so chocolatey. It's so wonderful. The milk afterwards is a treat. And then we have Fruity Pebbles versus Captain Crunch. Fruity Pebbles advance even though they don't keep their texture very well. We're in the final four! Fruit Loops versus Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Not even a question. Cinnamon Toast Crunch is here. Cocoa Pebbles versus Cocoa Puffs versus Fruity Pebbles. Cocoa Puffs absolutely advance. The final, Cinnamon Toast Crunch versus Cocoa Pebbles. In the bracket of cereal from SB Nation. The winner is Cocoa Puffs! I'm cuckoo for them. I haven't had Cocoa Puffs in maybe a decade. And I might hit a grocery store on the way home and grab a box of Cinnamon Toast Crunch and a box of Cocoa Puffs because I would like to validate these with recent testing. But I feel very good about both of them. Who makes Lucky Charms the number one overall seed? That's just, are you just saying that Marbits or Zion?
People that buy like the 40-pound bag of marshmallows online.
I would rather do that than be forced to also eat the gross little things that come with Lucky Charms. Bad seedings. You know what? I might take the NIT of cereal bracket over this one straight up. My name is Josh Briscoe. Beers and Flies running the show. This is a March Madness preview show here on Sports Radio 810. That was our removal from pretending to know things about the Billikens. Whenever we come back, though, we'll talk about the bottom half of the bracket and see what kind of madness gets here. That's next on Sports Radio 810.
Kansas City's hometown sports station, Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Count Chocula, major snub. Really offensive.
You want to clear your voice there?
No, it's great. My voice is great. This is how I sound now. It's been like this for several hours. Welcome back into our Sports Radio 810 WHB March Madness preview show. I am the voice of the ever-deteriorating Joshua Briscoe. Beers McFly attempting to get me to clear my throat. I will not. I cannot. It's just this. This is my instrument at this point that I'm working with. Playing a French horn. But I won't be on air the next couple of days because over on ESPN Kansas City in the afternoons and over here on 810 at night, we've got March Madness, baby. And earlier we were talking about the top half of the bracket. We talked a bunch of KU, a bunch of K-State, talked some cereal. The bottom half of the bracket, though, I did promise that we would get to. So now Beards and I will pretend to know things about Marquette. They're in my Elite Eight. Oh! What? Madness!
I have no idea.
I have them losing in the first round! Ah! Can't even fake a scream of panic. Nothing?
Ah!
Wow, thank you. You have such good energy tonight.
I hurt my voice.
We established earlier that we don't trust Virginia because bleep Virginia. I don't trust Gonzaga. I don't know if it's reasonable or not. Because like, Duke is full strength. And also, you know, they've got a couple of recent relative stinkers. I don't feel great about Gonzaga on any level, but now I don't feel great about the 8-9s literally anywhere. I don't think I have an 8 or a 9 advancing more than one round at any point. I should probably amend that. Because usually an 8-9 beats a 1 somewhere, right? Like, does it feel like that usually happens? I don't know. Maybe not. If there's going to pick it somewhere, I'd probably just double down and just have Syracuse beating Gonzaga, I guess. Because that team, I don't trust literally at all. Everybody seems to have a soft spot for Florida State, so I have them beating Gonzaga. I like Texas Tech just as apparently they're a pretty sexy upset pick, which is kind of frustrating is the wrong word, but it's kind of sad because I really wanted to ride that upset wave 3 seed all the way into the Final Four. I know that Texas Tech, first of all, had a really stinker performance in the Big 12 tournament, but also that they can maybe be a little bit streaky, that if Culver's off, then the whole team is off. I get that, but I also think that's fundamentally true about, like, I don't know, all but maybe 2 or 3 teams in the entire league. So I'm happy to ride that wave. I've seen, and this is, again, they're going to lose in the first round, and everyone's going to say, how did you not see this coming? But I've seen Texas Tech be better than a 3 seed. I've seen them have that stretch that they ended the Big 12 season on of just absolutely consuming worlds. And that happened recently. So it doesn't feel like I'm going back to something that happened months ago, you know, to vouch for the idea of them as a legitimate contender. I just saw them be absolutely exceptional, and not just winning games, because even that can be deceptive, but how they were winning games, being as dominant as they've been. They're the only Big 12 team I have in the Final Four, obviously. I think they're the only Big 12 team I have. Yeah, they're the only Big 12 team I have getting into the Elite Eight, and I feel all right about that. I don't know if Iowa State can get past Kentucky, even if it's in Sprint Center. Same goes for Kansas over North Carolina, if they even get there. Right now, I kind of think that Auburn would get past KU. I guess I should decide firmly because these brackets are going to lock before too long. But the rest of the Big 12, I don't feel anything for Baylor or Oklahoma. Neither of those teams mean anything to me. Those two teams both feel like the quintessential average team from a power conference that gets an 8 or a 9 seed, and you just flip a coin in 8-9 games. But I'm picking against both of them with a bit of confidence. Maybe Ole Miss and Syracuse are in a similar boat. I don't know. But I've seen enough of Baylor and Oklahoma to think that those seedings and even having them in the tournament is underwhelming. Baylor obviously had a stretch of time where maybe you could be convinced to believe, oh, you never did. I don't know what to do with Kansas State. If I had to bet my life on that game against UC Irvine, I'd lean toward K-State. I like the upset pick of it, though, just because we don't know how they're going to come out in that game. And so, As you look to finalize your bracket, I have pretty little faith, I would say, in the Big 12. I have Iowa State in the Sweet 16. I have Tech in the Elite Eight. But those are the farthest I think any of these teams are getting at the moment. There's a sound argument for KU and for K-State both, but I right now don't feel great about it. Here's the good news, though. I don't feel great about anything. Because it's March Madness, baby. It's crazy. Anything could happen. And you're gonna print off your bracket. You're going to go through the highlighter. You're going to have an update on your phone. You're going to realize that you're losing to your 9-year-old sister. Or maybe that's just me. Either way, you'll enjoy all of the coverage here on Sports Radio at 10 and over on ESPN Kansas City. I'm Joshua Briscoe. Have a great night. Enjoy this play-in game coming up here on Sports Radio at 10. Talk to you soon. Bye, Mom!